good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. It is a Thursday, February the 11th, 2016. In this hour, we're going to head to a local issue that's recently come to my attention, and I think if anybody's read the Marion Star as of late, this might be something or been on Facebook that has come to your attention. A lot of talk lately about water supplies in cities and in counties with what's been going on in Flint, Michigan, just a hop, skip, and a jump to our north, and I think in Marion, we all wonder the same thing. What is our water supply? How is our water supply? Is it okay? And what is going on with it? A city councilman, as we teased earlier on, would be on today talking about this, who has some questions and some very interesting things to say. Councilman Josh Daniels joins us in studio today. Josh, thank you for coming in.
Well, hi, Scott. Thank you.
Yeah. It's interesting because a lot of talk nationally about the water because of what happened in Flint. What spurred your concern with the water in Marion?
Well, let me step back actually a couple years. I didn't come to this conclusion overnight. Back in 2013, the water company came forward with not a proposal, but simply we'll call it a statement that they were going to convert the way that they treated our water from a chlorine solely based system to a chlorine chloramines based system. Chloramines is the addition of ammonia in a chlorine based system. That ratio, as has been told to me, is about one drop per 13 gallons. So it sounds very benevolent, 13 gallons. The thing is, in chemical composition, it doesn't take much of anything to alter the effects of a lot. When I'll make this example, when you take chlorinated water, chlorine, call that a red ball, and ammonia, which is a blue ball, and you throw blue balls and red balls into a ball jar, what you end up with looks like you'd end up with a jar full of red and blue balls. That is not the way that the addition of ammonia in a chlorinated system operates. It creates a chemical compound known as chloramine. So the blue and the red ball turn into a purple ball, and you can no longer separate the blue balls from the red ones. That's the best analogy that I've got. It does not come out with standard filtration chloramines. The system that reduces the most of it it's horribly expensive. It's $1,500, $2,000. Now, this is what I know about the addition of chloramines today. In 2013, as I talked to pathologists, they have a perspective on how disinfectants act with bacteria. They don't have a perspective of a city's water supply or how chloramines would act in a city's water supply with all the different materials that plumbing is made out of. They don't have that perspective, but the information they told me, I said, well, it doesn't sound like a bad idea. And there were some people that were opposed to the idea that we on council had had a lot of experience with over the years. I'll be honest, not everything that they have brought forth to council panned out the way they said it was. So I didn't have a whole lot of faith in where they got their material. The water company made an excellent presentation. I knew these individuals in the industry. I had worked with them, and I trusted their judgment. And I don't believe that the people that spoke to us were telling us untruths. Scott Ballinger, Don Scott was there. I don't think they were telling us something that they didn't believe. So I supported the water company on that. A year went by, year and a half went by. I began to get complaints concerning heating systems, vapor locking. We use a residential boiler system in one of our apartment complexes. There are 9 of them there. I would go over and we'd say, well, the filter's probably plugged up. It automatically shuts off. And we began to find a white Crisco-like material in the spiral vents, which is actually the mechanism that separates any air from the water. There's nothing that goes in the sealed boiler system other than tap water. Now, we had no additives, any of that. But I kept finding this greasy, white, Crisco-like material. And we changed the spiral vent, and 3 months later, we found the material again, like a tablespoon. And I said, well, there's not that much tap water being introduced into these boilers. The only way it loses water is through osmosis, through the PEX tubing that it uses. And the temperature is set low. You don't need, you know, 140 degrees like a hot water tank that's overset. You only need about 100 degrees. So I said, well, is this deteriorating the plumbing, or what is this white stuff? I called the water company. I was given the name and the number of their supervisor of new construction. They had, in a few months past, had done some new construction. So, you know, I assumed it was maybe the lubrication they put cast iron piping together with. I never got a call back. You know, I summed it up to being that lubrication. We put filters on the boiler systems, and, you know, and I put it behind me. Months after that, well, as of recently, I began to receive complaints from tenants. And, you know, I'd had my serviceman telling me that faucets were plugging up with some, you know, material. Wasn't sure what it was. He'd do the aerator and then, you know, end up having to pull the, and finally we changed the valves. And I said, you know, I've never had that problem before. What has changed with the water? That added to the boiler issue. Then I received calls. I actually received one from the water company. One of our residents had posted a picture on the old Ohio American's website. Aqua had, probably had seen that, or they were contacted, and they wanted to find out. They were calling me to find out, you know, this picture's on Facebook. You know, what was that when we had the boiling advisory? And I said, it might have been. Still holding faith. You know, you want to believe that people are truthful. And, you know, the water's fine. They've told you it's fine. You have, you know, you try to have confidence. But the response seemed mediocre. They didn't test that sample. As of two nights ago, I finally got a look at that sample. My wife, who manages our business, had described it to me. One was milky. You know, I knew that this time of year you can have air bubbles in a line, and this can lead to that problem. The next one looked like brown tea. You could not see to the bottom of the glass. We were not under a boil advisory. They hadn't broken a main, and it was leaching dirt. You know, I could have understood that. None of that had occurred. This had come straight out of the line long after a boil advisory. I believe that was in December. And long after the construction period. This neighborhood is Tyler Street, Fairgrounds. I think when I saw that, I stopped drinking the city water. It was a week, 2 weeks ago. And I stood and I asked myself, I said, you know, Josh, if you're not willing now, you've lost. And with the Flint crisis, et cetera, that probably was the end result of a lot of other stuff. That if I'm not any longer willing to give this water to I've got twin 3-year-old daughters and a 7-year-old. If I'm now telling them to drink the water, not to drink the city water, and drink the water out of the osmosis filter that comes from a well, I've lost confidence. And if I've lost confidence in the water supply, if I finally, after 2 years of debate and back and forth and reading endless articles, and if I've lost confidence, why am I continuing to support a company I don't any longer have faith in their water quality? And once I reached that point, I knew a fellow councilman, Ralph Cumston, argumentatively probably one of the worst critics of the water company for various number of reasons that he could describe. He was a vocal critic back in 2013. And I called Ralph and I said, Ralph, I said, I don't know if I trust the water anymore. You know, I've tried to toe the line here. I like the gentlemen involved. They're nice. Scott Ballinger's a good fellow. Don Scott, he's helpful. He's a nice fellow. But they don't make the decision. They report to people in Pennsylvania now. And then I wanted to know more about Aqua, which I'll share with you, you know, in a few minutes. But I told Ralph, I said, what if we were just to test the water? You know, I can call out to Alloway and get an example of what a sample would cost. It's about $10 for a lead test. Maybe we just need to check it out on our own, independently from the water company, you know, to make sure that we don't have an issue. And of course, Ralph supported that idea, and we brought it to finance for an appropriation. What then in that finance meeting, you know, we'll spend $5,000 on a copy machine. I'll be honest with you. There's some expenditures up at City Hall that are made that baffle me. They get shuffled into the budget. They get turned into a transfer. You don't see them until after they've been voted on, or maybe they were spent and you never even voted on them. Council doesn't have a whole lot of authority over contract negotiation, but in the scope of the city's budget, $5,000 just doesn't cause a lot of controversy. You know, you get an explanation, people pass it through. When I offered this up, you know, the reaction of at least two fellow council members, I got the feeling there's something going on here, some politicking. It felt like politicking. It felt like the decision got made before you showed up to the meeting. It felt like everyone was already paired off at the square dance and you're standing there by yourself. It being Ralph and me on the finance committee, Dale Osborne was the other member, he voted no. With Ralph and myself, we were able to move it into council. So it had its first reading that night, the second reading, and the third. I have the sense that it will pass. I came home after that. The debate was circled on who we would have collect the samples. You see here, hence is the problem. As in the words of the health commissioner, they believe that because it's done by an independent laboratory that is EPA certified, that it is fine. It's called chain of custody. It is fine that, you know, I have a sense that an independent EPA certified laboratory has the incentive to test it accurately. They don't have an incentive to not test it accurately and to submit it to the EPA. They lose their license if they were to do that. So there's no incentive on their part to do it. It's the collection of it. If the resident were given a sample bottle with a postpaid envelope that they could drop the sample in and deliver it, you know, through the postal service to the lab without any other hands being on it, that chain of custody would be complete. You could get the idea that no one could collect a sample, and if it was, you know, 100 parts per, the action level on lead is 15, but if it were 100 parts per billion, you know, there's a huge incentive for a water company to probably not submit that sample for testing. They've got the ability to test it themselves at their own lab. So it's this gray area of, well, what happens once the homeowner gives it to the employee, and where does it go then before it gets to the independent tester? I have not been told that there's a direct route untouched from the consumer to the lab. That has never been told to me by Aqua.
That being said, what was suspicious about the answers from the two council people that made you suspicious when they came back and voted no?
You know, one, the odd part of the one was he was one of the critics of chloramines. And, you know, sometimes with that particular councilman, I wonder if there might be a little rivalry there. You know, if I suggest it, then he can't help getting on the opposite side of the issue. But I welcome that, because in the first reading, you know, the conversation about the issue had pretty much closed out when, you know, he brought up his concerns, how is our testing method different from the water companies? And I'd already explained those 10 minutes ago, but he brought it up again. Well, in council, then you get to speak. And in committee, the Marion Star, the people that actually launched the story, weren't in attendance, but they were at council. So then we were able to get the issue, you know, noticed, so we could get input from the public. Dale, I don't, to be honest with you, I don't have an idea of why. Maybe he feels it's safe and has just reserved himself to that decision without any other discussion. You know, I don't know. But I try to give people the benefit of the doubt, because at one time, I had confidence in the water company and would have expressed what I felt, and I did openly. And I've lost that confidence. I no longer have it. And the further I dig into this, the less confidence that I have.
So you did say the one council person was Dale Osborne.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to say who the other one was?
It was Ayers Ratliff.
Ayers Ratliff. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, the interesting thing is and this is why I think maybe I can't speak for the Marion Star, but it's tough to do a show like this for this reason. Since we really don't know what's going on with the mm-hmm. water at this point, you don't want to cause panic because there are people drinking the water, I would assume. And I imagine it's being used in fountain drinks at restaurants and so on in the city. What would you say to the people listening right now or who might listen to this program to not cause panic until we know what's going on with the water?
You know, Scott, I'll be honest, when it comes to the public, that horse is already out of the gate and has been for a very, very long time. We don't realize that because sometimes we as human beings reserve ourselves to certain things because we're powerless. We feel powerless to change them. So we accept them. We just say, you know what? I'm going to spend an hour and a half driving home in the traffic jam if I work in Columbus. And you just do that day in, day out. You don't know how to change it or make it better. You just accept it. This community has accepted undrinkable water. And they don't have to. And I make my point because I challenge you to go to Walmart. There is an entire aisle, or at Myers, or at Kroger. There's an entire aisle dedicated to bottled water. And do you know the volume of bottled water that moves through a Walmart store in the course of a day? Go in the morning when they stock and look. I had someone tell me this morning. Tim was his name. He says, go there in the morning. The shelves are full, and they're gone by the afternoon. So you better get it in the morning.
You said something very interesting. You said that the town has accepted undrinkable water. Without the testing back, because I'm sure people are drinking it, and it's being used for fountain drinks and whatever else, Kool-Aid. Mm-hmm. Okay. Why is it undrinkable, in your opinion, if we don't know the test results yet?
I don't mean that from – I mean that from a smell, from a taste perspective. This is the reason people are reciprocating to me that they no longer drink tap water. I brought this up with a fellow employee. You know, he's not into water politics, but he says, I haven't drank the tap water in years. It just smells like a swimming pool. Et cetera, et cetera. That's not one example. When I came home from that council meeting, we use social media a lot. It is a way to reach a large volume of people very quickly. And, you know, people feel more comfortable on social media than sometimes they do in a face-to-face exchange. They'll tell you more on Facebook as opposed to if they pass you at the grocery store. So I brought up what had happened at council, and I placed it on my Facebook page. Anyone can see this. You can go to Josh Daniels on Facebook and look at the last, three or four posts. But you know that when I went back and I talked about collecting the samples and who would administrate that, and that was the debate, we don't need to have that debate anymore because in the first 24 hours that I posted this on Facebook, I've got more than 150 volunteers ready to have their water tested, and this is just in my circle of friends. This didn't even go community-wide. I don't communicate with everyone on Facebook, just, friends of friends, how that works. But there's 150 people that want dispersed throughout the city that want their water tested, and they started leaving comments, and they started talking about their story. A rancid, how did they put it? The smell of it in the toilet, and that's not, toilet's not sanitary anyway, but, they could say, you can smell that, it smells stale, those sorts of comments. And a lot of them have just, for a long time, reserved themselves not to drink it anymore.
This is interesting, and before we get too deep, I do want to mention this, that because we try to be fair
sure. And
get everybody's opinion, I did send out emails and messages to the mayor to the health commissioner, to Scott Ballinger out at Aqua, saying we were going to do this program. And if they have anything to say, they can feel free to call in. And at this point, and it hasn't been 24 hours yet, so if they do respond after this program or so on and so forth, we will read their response when we get it. But the one who has responded, well, actually, the mayor did just respond momentarily moments ago, and said that he would talk with me about this. There's no official statement, but he would talk with me about this. So I will talk with the mayor, and we will, I assume he will be on the record when I talk with him. So that will come in the future. But Tom Quaid, who is our health commissioner, did release a statement that he said we could read on the air. So here it is as he wrote it. Tom Quaid, our health commissioner here in Marion. I met with Councilman Daniels on Monday prior to their session, and he shared this concern with me. I told him that we have received no complaints about water quality from residential service in the city of Marion. During the council meeting, Mr. Ballinger informed the members of City Council that they follow EPA protocols with regard to the testing process and pointed out that the residential samples taken at the household taps by the residents are tested by an independent laboratory that is certified by the EPA. As health commissioner, if I were to design a testing plan, it would duplicate the plan in existence as it is considered the best practice. I have seen no evidence at all to suggest that we have a problem with the water in Marion. And again, he's referring to me when he says you. He said, you asked if Aqua tested the water recently and what the results were. I don't have that data on hand, but it is publicly available. I do know that the levels of lead and copper are both well below the action levels identified by the CDC. You asked if Mr. Ballinger is on our board. Yes, it is a matter of public record that Mr. Ballinger is a member of the Marion Board of Health. To be clear, the Board of Health does not regulate the residential water service in Marion. You asked about campaign contributions of the water company. I have no idea who contributes to whose campaign. In closing, I will repeat my suggestion to the City Council on Monday, that'll be this coming Monday, that while the situation in Flint, Michigan gives everyone pause, we are not dealing with that situation here, and that a more rational investment of our tax dollars would be to support efforts to increase lead screening for children who continue to be exposed to chips and dust of lead-based paint in older homes. That is the lead risk. That is based on his evidence. And that is Thomas Quaid, the health commissioner here in Marion. Your response to that, Josh?
Which part?
The whole thing, as a whole. That Monday, he is going to recommend that we worry about, I think that's what he says, we're going to worry about lead-based paint and that this is not a concern in Marion.
Well, I think Mr. Quaid, let me reiterate something that he told us at council. He reaffirmed that yes, the health department does not oversee the regulation of the public water supply. He also reaffirmed that the health department, not being forced to regulate it, we're not experts on water quality. That is not the health department's forte. Yes, he is correct that the chief executive of Aqua Water Company sits on the board of the Marion Health District. I think that's the term they go by. So, the chief executive of Aqua hires and fires Mr. Quaid along with six others. So if you can envision a board of seven, I'm going to guess that in a health, unlike city council, and people get friendly on city council too and then begin to think likewise. Friends do that. But looking at the issues of the health department, they're not an adversarial bunch with each other. I think they're pretty unified in their thoughts. So all of that said, I believe Mr. Quaid is an excellent fellow. He'd like to bring light to, you know, the idea that lead exists in existing houses and in paint. When paint's removed, dust is kicked up, children can invest this. And this is a segment of a health problem that The EPA and the federal government, you might see the advertising around town, has taken up. Of all the things that the city could invest in when it comes to health-related issues, there's no better way to spend it. And this is where we disagree. There's no better way to spend the amount of money to test these homes, because we don't have to test every home. We just have to have a sample size large enough to give us a significant, statistically, a significance of surety. Polling and election campaigns, you don't call everyone's house. You get a broad sample, and it gives you an idea of who's winning, who's losing.
I think we have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Hello. I have a question for Josh.
Go ahead.
I mean, since we're talking conspiracy theories here, you happen to be one of the largest property owners, and you happen to be on city council, right?
So, well, I'm not one of the largest property owners, but maybe one of the well-known ones. Go ahead.
So you said that there's water quality coming from your apartments. Shouldn't you investigate your apartments and your pipes?
You know, that's an excellent question. Uniquely, I have built all of our apartment buildings that we own, and they have been built since the oldest one that we have is 2006. As I stated earlier in the show, lead-based soldering, that went away in 1982. Everything now, they have a certification, it's NSP, to tackle different watering supplies. We use all plastic pipe. This is not
now, plastic pipe's easy to break, and it's easy to freeze and crack. I know I'm in the industry. So things can get into the water from a plastic pipe, and actually that's really cheap to use plastic pipe for people's water supply. I mean, that's actually kind of dangerous, if you want to be honest.
No, actually, I'm a state-licensed plumber, I can tell you that, with the health department, by the way. Mm-hmm. The entire industry has moved away from copper and is moving towards Aquapex, Nipco PEX. There's a number of different combined polyurethane PVC products that move water. The water company, not ours, ours use ductile iron, but many of the newest improvements from other water companies, again, use the same type of plastic, except instead of being half inch or three quarter, it's 6 or 8 inch. Weirsboro Plumbing, the type we use, you can freeze it. It has what they call a memory in the industry. It can freeze and then thaw out and never crack. Copper freezes, slits. It's not designed for expansion. And then, of course, once it thaws, it leaks. Dirt infiltration, that can occur, but then you end up with a water leak out in the yard because you're bringing it in at 60 PSI, and it will escalate itself to the surface.
I gotcha. Well, the question I'm asking is, before you jumped to the water company, did you do a full testing of all of your properties on all your piping systems?
I don't have any occasion or reason or evidence to think that any of our piping systems are wrong.
And well, I would be apparently happy. You do, because you've got water problems. So wouldn't you want to start with yourself and then move on to the water company? Because I don't have any problem with my water.
Well, you know,
I own a house in town, and has city council been inundated with water complaints? No. So yeah. I have a real weird suspicion with such a large property owner who just happens to be on the city council, who just happens to be on these health boards, wanting to attack the water company. It's really odd. And the other point I want to make real quick.
Okay, go ahead, make your point.
Just real quick, is the other person who's supporting you is also a very large property owner who, in the past, has been admonished for not paying his water bills. So that's really, really odd, don't you think?
No, actually, I don't, because he's not in the real estate business anymore.
But he was.
And his partner is no longer on city council, and he's not in the real estate business either. I don't do business with Ralph, and I won't speak to him, or I should say speak for him. I don't sit on any health boards, as you allege. I sit on a city council, and if you believe I use that position somehow for my own gain, you probably wouldn't be the first. But if you were to actually look at the record, anything that has to do minutely with something that might affect my business, I abstain from those votes. I don't add input. I don't vote on those issues, and it is exceptionally hard.
Well, wouldn't this take the blame away from you if you had messed up something on your pipe and you accused the water company of doing something wrong to the water, even though no one else other than the people at your particular properties has complained?
No,
isn't that a little odd to you?
No, actually, what I would challenge you to do is you go to Facebook, all right, you look up Josh Daniels, and you look at the 150 people that are on there with their own complaints of dirty water, smelling water, etc. I'm not going out to impugn the water company. What I suggested is that we test the water, that we take at least one first step forward and we test the water. And if I were worried, really, if you think about it, if I were worried about my own pipe, don't you think I'd end up in that test too? You know, so I'd be, by testing.
Well, I would think you'd want to test your own stuff first, just to rule it out, so this wouldn't be a problem.
I understand your point, caller. We're going to take some more calls. We're down to 15 minutes, and we might do some more shows on this.
Thanks for taking my call.
I thank you for calling in. And again, if anybody else wants to ask a question, feel free. 740-383-9944 is the number. We'll take it on the air if you like. And again, anybody who wants to respond, who's listening, who I contacted, that's also free to do. It's a live program. 740-383-9944. How much does it cost to get this test done?
$10 for a lead test.
$10.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't we just get that done? Why do we have to go through city council?
Well, first, who collects the samples all at once? You have to have them geographically dispersed. So who funds the project? And in honesty, you know, as the caller just said, I'm not in the position, I don't mind testing my own water and then allowing those results to go back to my tenants. I'm fully confident that the newest plumbing in the industry that we've installed, that isn't what the addition of chloramines affects. You'll even hear the water company say from their samples, they only pick homes with lead lines. They don't pick homes with plastic lines. They realize there's, you know, no lead leaching problem there. Now, we do have lead service lines in the city, but they're only sampling known lead lines. And that's, I think we, you know, unfortunately got mixed over with, you know, plastic lines, et cetera. Plastic lines, the industry went to that because it is the safest alternative. So I guess I thought I missed it.
Well, I guess if it's $10 a test, because I would think that maybe there's an entrepreneur here in town, because I think people in Marion are interested in the safety of the water, that wanted to fund this. Because it seems right now that the issue is that city council might not fund this test. And if the test is not funded, or funded in a peculiar way that we don't know how the water's being handled, getting from A to B, that it might be tainted. So if a business person, because this is not a huge amount of money in the end for somebody who's doing well, wanted to fund this test, and however we decide to take a sampling that is not tainted by anything, couldn't we do that? Because I would think if the test came back positive for anything, that certainly that would spur city council along to do something.
You know, the unfortunate part of individual testing, you just heard evidence of it there on the radio with that last caller. The defense that many water companies, I'm not saying ours, but in other places, they like to put the finger back to the service line. And they look and say, you know, it must have been that person's service line or in their plumbing or, you know, et cetera, et cetera. It is a dispersion of responsibility. There was no problem until the water chemistry changed. The water chemistry went from a chlorine-based system to a chloramine-based system, as happened in Flint. Chlorine, chloramines, leached lead out of old existing pipes that had lead in them. You can't leach lead out of a plastic pipe because there's no lead there. So this is why individual testing has a very hard time of working. We have to agree on a testing method, let everyone know the transparency of that testing method, where we're testing, et cetera, and do it in such a way that it can't be impugned. You know, there are people that simply, you believe what you want to believe when it comes to water quality. If you drink the water and you're satisfied with that and you have for years, you know, there's something in the human psyche in some people that they want to believe that something's safe. It's hard to, you know, break them away from that train of thought. There's others who think everything is unsafe, and it's, again, hard to break them away from that train of thought. That's what independent testing does. If we've got good water, and I hope we do, you know, I hope what I'm seeing in the piping system and what other residents seeing is correctable. It's not a health hazard, et cetera. It's just, you know, brown water that looks like tea. You know, I hope that the water's safe. If it's not, we need to know.
That being said, and not that any one person is in charge of the water here in Marion, but we do have Aqua, and so we have Scott Ballinger as our contact there. We have Tom Quaid at the health department, who I wouldn't think wants anything bad to happen. We have a mayor. Mm-hmm. We have a city council. And the only thing we know so far is that we know what Tom Quaid's response is, because he sent it over to us, and what his recommendation will be on Monday. We know what the two people on council voted. Mm-hmm. The two people did vote against it. Why wouldn't the mayor, or Scott Ballinger want to look into this? Why would they want why would they not be interested in the answer?
You know, again, not being a psychiatrist, it's hard. Sometimes people don't want to identify that there might be a problem because they don't have an answer to fix it. They don't have the means to fix it, so it's better to not. It's better not to imagine that there is. There is a lot of misinformation out there. People come forth, say there's problems with things where no problem exists. Every politician has faced that, and you boil it down, you find out the facts are this, and they're not what the person told you. Let me say this. I'll give you the facts of this. Aqua is unlike our former water company. And I say that because Aqua is a Pennsylvania-based company, and they are a large company. The second largest water provider privately of private water systems in the United States. This is a $5.68 billion, that's with a B, market cap company. They did not get there because they did not know how to shape opinion and to draw influence. And they do this readily. They are a huge political contributor. Now, we mix money in politics. Does a politician really, you know, take the word of someone who contributes to their campaign? Really, the only thing you can firmly, you know, is that both the candidate or the politician and the donor, in this case Aqua, they have a relationship that's positive. You know that. The get-go is that they like each other. One wrote the check and one took the check. So how their decisions into the future are shaped, you know, it's hell. But I can say that Aqua in 2014 gave out over $118,000 to some pool of 20 congressmen. This is only on the federal level. And you know, we all expect that. You know, it's a big company. They're going to contribute to Congress. The Congress that shapes the rules of the EPA that that oversee the Clean Water Act, that helps set standards for water quality. You know, the thought that strikes me is that if I were a water company that is providing good water, I'm just doing my job right. I'm beyond reproach. Why do I need to give contributions to politicians?
How does that apply to the Marion situation?
Aqua has a political action committee, as we've all heard that term. We don't really know what it means, but on a campaign finance report, it's Aqua PAC. They're, again, out of Pennsylvania. You know, and the striking part is that they give to local candidates, not only federal and state, which oversee federal EPA and state EPA regulations. You sometimes wonder how rules are written, how protocol for sampling is designed. It's done under the EPA. You know, the EPA is headed by directors who are appointed by politicians who in many cases are taking contributions from the water company. Not just the Water Company Utilities Act this way in general, but what makes a utility unique is that it's a monopoly. It doesn't face the forces of competition. And to balance that monopoly, because, you know, you might not want two water companies with two sets of lines running down the street, to balance the power of that monopoly, which would be bearing an enormous, much like back in Teddy Roosevelt's day in the railroads, to oversee that, we've created things like the PUCO, Public Utilities Commission, regulations brought forth by the EPA. All of these checks and balances are government. Government is supposed to be the weight against unbridled power from monopolies. The only thing is that now monopolies, utility companies, are some of the largest contributors to politicians that write the rules that regulate them. When you find that out, you begin to wonder, is water quality the primary? Companies do one of two things to raise the bottom line. They either cut costs or they raise price. And if they're in an environment in which, you know, price hikes are unsavory, they're in a Flint, Michigan, a Marion, Ohio, a Stockton, California, where people won't endure without much complaint higher rate costs, then they begin to cut costs.
So that being said, and I understand where you're going here, but how does that impact the decisions made in Marion by our decision makers?
Well, I don't receive contributions from the water company. Some do. I've not found a member of council that receives contributions from the water company. The administration, yes. The mayor, probably one of his largest contributors, single contributors, and that didn't make up a whole huge amount of the money spent in the last election, but, you know, they're one of the top, Aqua PAC. Law director received one. It's not much. It was $70. To be honest with you, and in fairness, that could have been two people that showed up to a fundraiser that paid with a check that said Aqua PAC on it. I guess the point there is that they have now involved themselves in local politics. The real questions for Aqua, why do you feel inclined, if you're offering a product that is beyond reproach, to have to involve yourself in the gray areas of politics?
This is an important question because you've just said, I think, that the mayor and the law director received money from Aqua.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, that being said, do you believe, because I think this is opinion, that has influence in our local government?
I believe that as a politician, particularly in local politics, when someone gives you a contribution, especially a significant one, we are all human beings. It is hard for us not to grow an affinity for that person, to start seeing things there. You just can't avoid it. My last campaign, I didn't raise money from anybody. I didn't take money from anyone. The last two elections that I've had, I've been self-funded. You can win a local race without having to go out and raise a lot of money. People know you're fighting for them and working for them. It's a small town. They'll do the advertising for you. A friend of mine once said, you know, if politicians worried more about helping the people they serve, they wouldn't have to worry so much about getting reelected. The people would just follow suit and do it. It was probably good advice. I remember it. Does it make an impact at a $500 contribution to the mayor's office shape his opinion? You know, I would hope not. Can I say that it did or not? You know, it's hard in some small way not to. You have to pull yourself, though, out. And I'm going to implore him, pull yourself out of that and say, you know what? I've just got to look at the facts the way they are. And really, the people I serve are the people of Marion. And I would hope he would come to that conclusion.
Have you seen the mayor be hesitant on this issue?
I'll say this. What I have heard from the mayor at the last council meeting was twice. We use the term city's water supply, and to an administration that sound, when you refer to the city, it sounds like the government, the city. And I use the term the city's water supply. I think the term that, you know, I meant the city as a noun, not the city as the administration. You know, he took pause to that and twice, you know, says, I've heard that, and I don't want anyone to think, you know, that the city owns the water company. Maybe he just wanted to clarify that. You know, but I thought to myself, I said, if the water company's fine and no one's got any complaints and all's well, why are we so aggressive about correcting the notion that the water supply might be owned by the city? It's as if you're running from that idea. Why would it matter if, you know, all was well? So maybe I'm reading into that too much.
It's an interesting question. It's certainly been an interesting hour here. We blew right through it. And again, we did send feelers out to the mayor, to Tom Quaid, the health director, commissioner, and Scott Ballinger over at Aqua. So if they would like to respond, they can respond. And if they do, we will let you know, and we'll see what happens there. But Monday there will be a vote, correct?
No.
No.
Council, there was a first reading this past Monday. Committee is the next, and I think the date probably falls the third Tuesday, so it's going to be a Tuesday. And then there's a full council after that. The vote probably on this, it'll have three readings, I suspect. There's also a separate committee going to be brought up in, I think, Municipal Services that would outline how the testing is to be done. We need more information on that. So when we go forth, and should we do this, and I hope we do, that we've done it correctly. We've created a model that people can have faith in. And, you know, again, from the start, I've said this, you know, people think that by questioning something, you're automatically attacking them. That, you know, that's just not the case. If what a world we would live in if you couldn't ever question a friend or someone you didn't know without being naturally thought of defensively as an enemy. And I guess in my own why so defensive? Because you've been asked a question. That always sends up a red flag for me. But I hope the water supply is fine. I just simply want to know that it is. And if it is, this test is going to give confidence to, I want to create a test that gives people confidence that your water, although you might not like the smell or you know, the taste, it's safe at least. You can drink it and have no adverse health effects. But they'll have that confidence and know. That's beneficial in a community. You know, when many of the people I speak are just naturally drinking bottled water, they've got the expense of bottled water on top of, you know, ever-increasing rate hikes, but high prices of water. Give them some confidence that they're drinking a safe, you know, product. If that confidence can't be achieved because the test results brings back something to the opposite, then we need to get it fixed. I don't want to be one of those old Rust Belt towns with lead-based lines and lead solder and its older stock of housing. I don't want to be one of the thousand of those towns across the United States that finds out last and then tries to go get assistance from the federal or the state government to fix their problem when that boat's already sailed and those funds are dried up. That is typically what happens in these scenarios. So I want to know now, not to mention, the sooner you find it, the less adverse any adverse health effects will be.
With 30 seconds left, do you think this would be an issue if the story was not floating around in Flint?
I think I would have probably come to the conclusion anyway. Flint was probably, when I saw what, that was a government that did that to its people. And they're not inundated with stock options. They don't answer to shareholders. They answer to the public. And when I saw some of that going on, I said, you'd be willing just to keep your job or your cozy place in life and let people drink lead-based water and that while you're giving yourself and your own employees bottled water, you know, in state agencies and the local water authority. You won't drink your own product. That was rotten and wrong. And that, not everyone acts honestly in this world.
Very quickly, do you think the people Monday who are voting against this, have voted against this, would drink the water?
Well, I don't know. If they drank water, yeah, I don't know what they drank. Alcohol or, you know, I'm not sure.
They yeah, certainly, if they put it in their mouth and swallow it, I would think if they truly believe something was wrong and they're willing to do that, I would think they'd have some confidence.
Well, I can tell you this, that if I were to bring both of them a cup of the brown tea-like water that one of my tenants sent me, I don't think either one of them would drink it.
What's the water look like at City Hall?
Well, they removed the water fountains, so I'm not sure what the water at the City Hall. And by the way, that being that licensed plumber I am, that's code violation. You can't remove the water fountains from a public meeting place. But send that up the poll. Yeah, another day, another battle. But
well, it's been an interesting conversation, and like I said, I'm sure we will have more on this. Councilman Josh Daniels, thank you for coming in.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
839-944 to get in on the conversation.
Yeah, Hillary needs a new hairdo, though, I'll say that.
See, you would never say that about a man.